good to be back. And Deb and I always enjoy coming back and having fun. And pastors, if you haven't taken the chance to be around them, I urge you to get around them and do it more, because it's no telling what's going to happen. It's all good. It's all good. We came back to see if anybody grew up a little bit. As you notice, I've grown a little bit. And I don't know, the doctor even said I might shrink a little bit. That would probably be a just and honorable thing. So January, not until January, I'm going to start shrinking again. And it's not going to be like the movies. It's going to be what the doctor says. So, because God's given wisdom and understanding. And I truly believe that all wisdom and understanding comes from God. And this message is something that I believe is good. And we understand that pastors are our pastors, and that God has put them here in this house, this church building, this church. But we are the church. Amen? You know, I would just like to say, before I get started, I'm still blessed. And I'm still highly favored, and I'm still abundantly supplied for, and I'm more than a conqueror, because it's what God has done for me. It's not something that I have done on my own. It's something that I look at Him to see how blessed I am. But Jesus gave us all a commission, didn't He? And I would like you to look at that commission and what He has to say about it in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, if you don't know what the commission, and you don't have a Bible, which I like a hard copy. Now, the hard copy I'm using today is the New King James Version. In Deb and I's travels, in the absence of my memory, I didn't lock the car, and someone, believe it or not, took my Bible, Deb's Bible, and a blanket that she always liked. Now, I pray that they open that word up and they see the wrong of their life, but that they read the Bible. Now, Deb wasn't so, I apologize, Deb, but she didn't pray that. She wanted to be caught because of that blanket and her Bible. Now, I could really feel bad about it, because I had all those healing scriptures written down and in that Bible. And now I'm using the King James Version, the New King James Version. So we're some of the pages ain't as used as others. So if it sticks a little bit. But I just as you was going over Matthew, the sixth chapter, could you take a little history lesson? Okay. What president laid his hand on the scripture that Miss Jennifer gave us this morning in Matthew, the sixth chapter? Could anybody tell me that? Nobody can tell. Hey, I see something right here that tells me who did it. Could you believe that Abraham Lincoln in 1865 laid his hand on that scripture? Miss Jennifer didn't even know that, did you? But that was just a little history. That it was a side journey, so thanks for bearing with me. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Say amen when you get there. Amen. This is our Bible, isn't it? Amen. We can have what it says, right? Yes. We can do what it says. And I am what it says I am. God is good. Amen. Now, Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verse 16, well, pastor does this, but let's back up to verse 9. Sorry about that. It talks about, I'll just read it. And as they went to tell the disciples, now this was the ladies that went searching for Jesus. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worship him. And then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid." Now, how many times does it say, "Fear not," in the Bible? over 365 times. So that's one for every day. So fear not. He says, fear not. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So that's set up what we're about to read right now, because the girls, the women that he was talking to, went to them and gave the disciples what Jesus said, and they traveled to Galilee. So we pick it up on verse 16. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, poor Thomas has had a jacket on his back for a long time because everybody calls him doubting, but it says some doubted. So it's more than just him, right? You can see that because that's what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm going to be with you all the time. That was Dennis's translation. But he said, I am with you always, even to the end of age. God's word is speaking to us here, and we've got to see that his word is eternal. What he says is from now on. As we read it and we place it in our hearts, it becomes internally in us. Our spirit takes hold of it and walks it out. Because it goes. Now, we've talked about it before as I've been able to minister and been honored to stand here about how man has measured God's word. And some don't know that, but man put a measurement on God's word. When he said, when God said, light be, the measurement of light has been measured by man as 186,000 miles per second. So what God's word is saying, it's going by man's measurement that fast out in front of us. So take a hold of that and look at that and see how God has said for us, because this is not just a commission for the disciples. He said, go and make disciples to the disciples. Are you a disciple? Are we not walking under this commission? Are we not to make disciples of people? So it's not just pastors that are called into the ministry. It's each and every one of us. And it's important for all of us to understand that and step into it. You know, last time I was able to minister, there was two pastors here. Pastor David and Miss Jennifer, and Pastor Earl and Miss Jennifer. Now that was quite a deal. You know, it was kind of bothering in the mind because they both know the word so well. So I looked to them for scriptures. I looked to them to find out what's going on. But you know, you can go somewhere else too. You know, I got on this thing here. And I talked to Siri and said, Siri, where is it in the Bible that it talks about the Great Commission? Did you know it was on there? Now, in our travels, Deb makes fun of this, but in our travels, we was down there at Jason's house, our youngest son, and they got this Alexa in their house, and I heard Kathy say, Alexa, play music. And it would come on, you know. And when she'd go to work, she would say, Alexa, stop. And it'd quit. Well, one day we was there, and I wanted to hear some music. So I said, Alexa, play music. And it went to playing. I thought that was pretty good. And I was sitting in the other room and it quit. So I go back to the bedroom door because that's where it's at. It's in their bedroom, you know. And I said, Siri, play music. It wouldn't come on. And I couldn't understand why it didn't come on, so I went back to the living room and sat. And I was talking to Kathy that evening and saying, hey, that thing was broken there. And she said, why? I said, well, I told it to play music. And I told her what I said. And she started laughing. Debbie started laughing. But Debbie didn't start laughing before until I told Kathy about it. She said, well, the reason why it didn't play music, because it was Alexa. You got to say Alexa. I said, oh, that's what I had done. I was so used to going to this and saying, Siri, do this, Siri doing that. But let's look at what it says on Siri, and it says this. As Jesus was getting ready to ascend to heaven, he gathered the disciples and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, we read that in there. Siri sees that. You can read it here. It's electronic. But it goes on and says, the Great Commission, this is what is known as the Great Commission. See, it explains what the Great Commission is. And it goes on and says, each and every one of us are given the Great Commission. So even the modern says the same thing. This is a translation. This is also an explanation. It is really good to be able to think, because it goes on and says, but I think it could be because of James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. Are you sinning a little bit? Do you know that being a disciple, you're supposed to disciple someone? That's what this thing says. Do we take hold of it, what this says? This is a modern explanation of what the Word says. But the Word also says that in James 4. I was very surprised when I asked Siri about this and it come up with this information. I was very surprised. And I thought, maybe I ought to do some more studying on this. And I'm going to. Siri's got a lot of information. But God's Word's the final answer, right? But it does use the Word of God to explain things. And I think that's awesome. Okay, Matthew. Let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. You getting anything out of this? When God give us the information and the Great Commission, I guess what I'm trying to say is he didn't just give it to a certain group. As is talked around in the 4th chapter, but each, 4:7, but to each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we all got the same gift given to us, right? Now, as Pastor said a little bit ago about some of us are standing in front of you, but we all have the ability to lean on the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But he said, when he ascended on high, he led captives captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Who he descended is also the one who ascended for above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now that's in parentheses, so that's interjected into the word. But if we read verse 7 and then go to verse 11, it helps me to understand a little bit. So let's do it that way. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. all these gifts that has been given is important to God, because he goes on and says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until when? Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that awesome? We can accomplish that because God said we could through Christ. We could accomplish that through Christ because God's word says we can. Are we perfect right now? No, we're striving to be perfect through Christ. Let's go on. Ephesians, the third chapter. I don't hear too many pages turning. Ephesians, the third chapter, the eighth verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, is that the second chapter? Nobody said nothing, but Pastor, how come you didn't say something? Just messing with you. Okay, to me, who am less than the least of all these, Paul's writing this to Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, and he's talking about things, about this grace. He goes on from here and talks about the grace. But to me, who is less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all see what is the fellowship and the mystery. See, God is trying to show us the mysteries that we call them mysteries, but God is trying to show us what his word is saying about his grace, his anointing, the effective working that he's trying each one of us to step into. See, we might not know all the scriptures, but series can help us. But I also say series, I would use the word to back it up. Because it's good to be able to look at a hard copy. You know, back in the 80s when I was working and the computers come out and everything, we was having to write everything down. And the first computer that I remember really running off from me was a 286. And we had what they called a Peachtree system, computer system, that we had to do about 4 or 5 entries to get to one results. And when we first got it, the computer was waiting on us. And it wasn't 5, 6 months. It could have been quicker than that. We was waiting on the computer. And so we went to the 386. Well, the 386, other things started developing. The information stopped having to be entered 3 and 4 times. And it started to get the results easier on less entries. And the 486 come along. And Microsoft come along. And it started simplifying everything. I said all that to say this. A lot of times, they said that we was going to be able to do away with with paperwork. Going to save some trees and things like that. Maybe that was me saying that. But the results was going to come quicker and easier to put out the profit and loss explanations to people that we had to talk to, the banks and things like that. And they would take that, because it was a new way of doing things, they would take that as things that was modern. Just as we look at now this is an iPhone 6. And it's modern to compare with me, because now they got to 11. See, I'm so far behind that, But see, God's Word never changes. But the access to God's Word is so much available, so many more ways available to us, and easier for us to show people. Because before, we would have to say, well, I don't have my Bible, so you're going to have to, we never did say that, but we'd just give them the Word, you know. Well, John 3:16 said this, or Ephesians 1 says this. But now you can take your phone and turn to it and say, what does this say? Because they've got Bible scriptures and Bibles on the phone. Now, I still, in the trunk of the car, has an iPhone 4. There's some reason I can't turn loose of some of that stuff. I don't know what it is. Do you guys have that problem? Or you just kick it to the curb? You don't, do you, Deb? I've got a whole supply of stuff in a storage unit up there at Sullivan that we haven't seen for 6 months. But I need it because, now, that ain't something that Deb, I get that, you know. But see, when I come back and I really do need it, it's good to have. Ain't that right, Deb? It is. So, well, I didn't know you had that. You know, I was digging in the box the other day and I come across, I knew. See, I've started a new thing. I've started, and it's Deb's brother's fault, my little brother. He started carving, and he started walking sticks, you know, and he starts carving stuff, and he's really good at doing that. And I knew I had me a carving tool, but that's one of them deals, I had it in storage. And when you have something in storage, you don't really know which box it is in. See, God wants us to store things somewhat. But Jesus, when he talked to the disciples and said, I must go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher. You can lean on him, he says, and he'll teach you all things. He'll bring to remembrance all things. I always had a hang up. I would go to church. It was the pastor's that should fill the church house. You know, it's the pastors that's supposed to do that. We pay them good money. Back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and some of the 90s, it was my belief that if a church is lacking in numbers, it was the pastor's fault. It was easy to blame him. He stood up in front of you all the time. But I've come through the Word, I've found that it's really us who sit in those seats, responsibility to minister and encourage people to come on Sundays. We should make it enjoyable. I remember when I was younger, the face response on some people when they'd go to church, they'd get real serious. And when you ask them to pray, they would get, it'd really get serious. But God says, rejoice. Jesus said, rejoice. What did he tell the two ladies or the women that he walked up to? They walked up to him. He said, rejoice. Go tell my brothers that I'm going to meet with them. But what happened with the brothers? Even though they was told, some of them doubted. It wasn't just Thomas. It was more than one. See, God has talked with me several times to witness to people. And you really get to that point and you say, surely not. You don't want me to do that because... Well, because in the butt of it gets in a lot of ways of what God's intentions is. And the more I get into the Word, the more I understand the blessings of God comes through the Word. And if you'll just speak the Word and speak the Word only and lean on the Holy Spirit, if you lean on the Holy Spirit, I found that you won't be putting your foot in your mouth. You can't put your foot in the mouth when the Word of God is coming out of it. The Word of God is true. When he says, I love you so much that I sent my Son for you, it is true. When he says, I can count on you because this is a commission I'm giving you, go to all the earth. Preach the gospel. Tell them that I love them. I'm not a judging God. I love them. Tell them that I love them. So many people think that they're lost because they've lived a life that everybody else has said is wrong. See, when I was younger, and I've talked with you guys, most of you know me real well, but until I was in my 40s, even though I had been down front, even though I had done these other things, I really hadn't made Jesus Lord of my life. Because I was doing things because other people was doing them. It really wasn't in me. I didn't really take upon me, Romans the 10th chapter, the 13th verse, that says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did it because other people was doing it. And I know I'm not the only one that's done that. And afterwards, I was leaning on the Word, but I wasn't reading the Word. But God's promise is, if you study to show yourself approved, you will understand the Word. That's what it means when Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to teach you all things. And when I started getting a hold of the Holy Spirit's going to teach, so the Word, don't worry about you teaching anybody anything. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. So the Word. Mark put it, said, sow the Word. If you want to be a farmer, sow the Word. Because that's where it grows. It gets in. And even though it's something, the Word will go into soil. You know, we had situations this last month, and it was a point of wondering what to say. But while I was, I would say, Holy Spirit, help me now in this. Give me the right words. Give me the words of encouragement. Give me the words of grace. Give me the words that would ease the hurt. Because we all are natural. And when we're natural, we're temporary. But we want our words to be eternal. But we temporarily said them. That's what you're going to get. Sometimes it's problems because you said the wrong thing. But see, if we speak God's word, it's eternal. When people ask questions, if we speak God's word, it's the right answer. If we follow the leaning and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gets with them. It's the Holy Spirit that comforts them. It's the Holy Spirit that knows exactly what you can say at the moment that you need to say it. Now the natural sometimes come in. You know, but you can ask for forgiveness for it. Let's go to Acts, the 11th chapter. Let's look at the 22nd verse. Now Jesus was talking to them and said, all things have been given unto me. Now you go do them, right? He said, you have the power because I'm going to the Father and all these things have been given unto me. Did you ever wonder what all these things were? Maybe I'm a little bit different, but I want to figure out some things of those all things. You know, in Ephesians, the second chapter, it talks about it was by God's grace that we've been saved through faith. Is his gift of God, not that any man should boast. So God's grace, I believe, was part of them all things. Do you agree with that? So God's grace was part of that all things that was given under Jesus, because he said when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll speak what I and the Father show him to say. He will do the things that he sees, just as Jesus did. What did Jesus say? He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I hear or see what the Father does. So is not the Holy Spirit doing the same thing? So it's by grace that God's give the grace to us, for the faith grace Is it part of it? So Acts, the 22nd verse, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Now, the disciples have been out ministering, doing those things that Jesus had told them they was able to do, and doing things. So the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barabbas to go to Antioch, because they was expanding the ministry. And when he come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all that were purposed of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Now this is New King James Version, and it's a tongue twister sometimes when you're used to using the New American Standard Version, so it's different. But it says, what my takeaway is, the grace of God was given, and he seen it because he was glad about it. So the grace was a working grace. Do you agree? It was a working grace that he could see. Let's go to Acts, the 4th chapter. So when we hear Jesus saying, this is a commission I'm giving you, he's also giving you grace that can be seen. The 4th chapter, the 33rd verse. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. Now this calls them the apostles. Jesus called them disciples. They're all in the same. He moved, they're the apostles, they're the same. It was still John, it was still Matthew. But this scripture is talking about, and these are the acts of the, Acts is the acts of the apostles, right? Do you agree with that? So it says, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. Now what happened there? Some of them was doubting. But it says now they have great power that they give witness. So evidently they took hold of what Jesus had said, that all authority has been given. And when they went out and started ministering, they started seeing the things that Jesus said. And with great grace, great grace was upon them all. Isn't that awesome? So this type of grace was great power. Let's go to Ephesians. Well, we talked about Ephesians the 4th through the 6th about God's grace in salvation. But let's go to 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, and then we'll wrap it up. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So we see that the power of God is offered by this grace and is evident to it. So I haven't you guys jump back in 2 quite a bit, but let's go to John the 12th chapter. And we'll start at the 30th verse. Jesus said unto them, this voice did not come because of me. Well, what voice was he talking about? If you read up into the scripture there, the 27th verse, now my soul is in trouble. Father, give me from this hour, but for this purpose I come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus is talking to the Father. Then the voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. See, some people hear the word of God and they cannot, there's no way, it's distorted. These people heard it as if it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, and this is where we was going, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of the world, now is the ruler of, that the ruler of this world, that is the devil, right? Jesus defeated the devil, didn't he? He defeated him on the cross, didn't he? So, how did he do that? He took the judgment on himself, didn't he? But I am lifted up from the earth and draw all people unto myself. This is said, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus took our sins on the cross. And so many times we want to hold on to it, but Jesus did bear our judgment. He bore our sins on the tree. You know, even though we're gone, we do our own thing. You know, even though I was raised as a preacher's kid when I was younger, I did some things that could be baggage, but Jesus bore them and I set them alone, gone. You know, it's as far as the east is from the west. You know, people that you know and been around and everything like that, but you did this. You know, people think that God doesn't want to forgive them. The sin I did is too great. Will God ever forgive me for this? When you hear someone say that, you know, I burst at the seams because God has already forgive you. All you got to do is take hold of it. All you got to do is take hold of it. There's nothing, there's no sin too great. The only sin that'll keep you out of heaven in the scriptures is not making Jesus Lord of your life. Not believing on him. That's what'll keep you out of heaven. Because he is the doorway. No one comes to the Father but by him. That's the only thing it is. And if you make Jesus Lord of your life, if you, it's that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that puts you in different standing. It changes your destination. See, life here on earth in the natural ends. But as Pastor was talking about, you can absolutely say, death, where is your sting? You ain't got nothing on me. I live because Jesus died on the cross. He gives me that opportunity to live. He is good. God is good, people. God blesses us all the time. He puts people across our paths to where we can talk to and show the blessings of God and be that light. Be that salt of the earth. Because there's a lot of kids now. We was talking with some family members. We got together this last week, and we was talking about how how well-known people are seeing Jesus as their Savior. They're making Jesus West. You know, one of the family was talking about West and how he had changed and things. It's just amazing to me to hear about that. He's taken a different direction. That's what repentance is all about. Turning around and taking off. Don't do that anymore. That's how I know that he has really got something different going on. His life is changing. And I'm just amazed at how God is working and going and doing things. You know, it's just awesome. The volume and the stage that he has. That if people just take hold of what he's saying, God's love is greater than your sin. God's love is so great. God is not a judging God. God says, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. He's not going to go, Jesus ain't going against him. He's not going against Jesus. Do you believe that? God is good, isn't he? John the 14th chapter. The 12th verse says, "Most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So we don't pray to Jesus, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. If we want to make our destinations of eternity different, we go to the Father in what Jesus did. We use Jesus' name. The Father looks at us after that point through the blood of Jesus. Do you agree with that?